the book of Genesis, and specifically right now, the life of Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 21, we have a interesting passage of scripture that teaches us a lot of great truths, but also can might be a little confusing too. So the prayer this morning is that God speaks to our heart, have an understanding of what God is trying to teach us through his word. Also, as he's preparing Abraham for, we saw in the last time we looked in Genesis, the birth of Isaac has come. There is going to be a great trial in the future with Isaac and when he is supposed to be offered up as a sacrifice. And we remember that story, but there was preparation that needed to happen to have Abraham's heart ready for what God had planned for him. And I think this is true in all our lives, is that God always has a plan and purpose for us, and he is always trying to work on us, and many times molding and making us ready and able to be able to accomplish his will. Remember probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we looked at a story where Abraham was getting ready to have his child, and God wanted to bless him, and God had this great idea and great plan. At 100 years old, he was going to have a child. His wife was 90 years old. But before God was able ever to bless them, remember a few weeks ago, we looked at the fact that God had to deal with a certain sin in his life. Remember when Abraham had gone to Egypt, he had lied about his wife Sarah. He says, "Say, Sarah, tell everybody that you're my sister so they won't kill me when they take you." And he did the same thing in the land of the Philistines. And God was working in their hearts and their lives, allowing these things to happen, trying to prune and mold and make Abraham into becoming the Christian that God wanted. Now, Abraham, as you look on the pages of the Bible, is known as the friend of God, known as a man that's the father of the faithful, the father of the nation of Israel. A lot of great characteristics. But when you come and look at his family life, sometimes it's in some trouble. And here in Genesis chapter 21, you see like a little bit of a civil war, a family feud that's going on here. And everything comes to a head in this passage of scripture. And we see three principles I want you to get this morning. Three things. First of all, I want you to see Abraham is reaping what he has sown. Second thing, Abraham is realizing what it means to deal with his flesh. And third thing is Abraham's God remembers the castoffs. Abraham's God remembers the castoffs. Let's look here in Genesis chapter 21. Let's look in verses 9 through 20. Last time when we looked in the book of Genesis, we saw Isaac was born. We saw that Isaac was born at the exact time when God said, and we can have great faith in God because he has a foreknowledge. We know he's always at work. We know he's always capable of doing all things, and how God was able to use Abraham and Sarah, and God was able to bring this child at an age of a miraculous birth here. Verse number 9, it says, we'll start in verse number 8. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And once again, Abraham's a rich man, and Abraham is excited, and he is having a feast the day that he is weaned, and everything is great, everything's going wonderful for everyone except two people. And this is Hagar and Ishmael. Verse number 9. As Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. We see here that Isaac is being mocked by Ishmael, and Sarah's not going to have anything to do with this. In verse number 10, it says, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman. And that's the title of this morning's message, is cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Verse number 11, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as if it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee? Hagar, fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad. He grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. This morning, this passage of scripture teaches so many wonderful doctrines and so many different laws that God, that we can see in God's timing and God's way. But also, you've got to see this passage of scripture and think, wow, Abraham had to give up his son. You see the passage of scripture, Isaac is being mocked by Ishmael. And remember, Ishmael is the child of Hagar and Abraham. They did something that was wrong many years earlier, about probably at this point in time, about 17 years, 16, 17 years ago. Abraham went into this, to his, the slave of Sarah's. They had a child because they were doing what they thought they needed to. But after this, Abraham has loved this child for 17 years, and now God is saying it's okay to send him away. Can you imagine how difficult that would be? I love my son. Both my sons. They're great. They're wonderful. But if I had waited till I was about 76 to have a child, or 86 to have a child, then a child comes along the way, and then he becomes my close friend, my companion, and for 17 years, I watch him, and he's grown, and for 14 of those years, there was nobody else around. Isaac comes, but now I had to send my child away. Why in the world would God ask him to do that? And there's some different things we can learn from this passage of scripture, and there's some different things that we can learn about the truths in this passage of scripture. I think it's an important lesson. But before we get started, let's have a word of prayer, and then let's ask God to help us this morning as we look at this passage of scripture. Lord, we need your help this morning. Lord, I pray that no one be confused on the things that are being taught here, that they understand what is being given. And Lord, that we learn how we are supposed to deal with the flesh and how we had to get rid of the things of the flesh. And Lord, this illustration is a powerful way of how, Lord, we are supposed to deal with the things of our past and deal with our flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see here is Abraham is reaping what he has sown. Abraham is reaping what he has sown. Now, this is a law that we know this in the Bible. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So here it is. This is a farming term also. If you sow something, you're going to reap it. We have some farmers in our church, and we talked about this a few Wednesday nights ago in the book of Galatians, that if you sow a seed, you're going to reap a harvest from that seed. If you sow a pumpkin seed, you're going to reap a harvest of a pumpkin. No one has ever sowed a pumpkin seed, and it came out to be a watermelon. It just does not happen that way. That is a law that is here. That is a law of nature. It's the idea of same thing of the law of gravity. If I pick this cup up and I drop this cup on the ground, it's going to fall. Why is that going to happen? It's because of the law of gravity. Just as in this biblical law, even in a spiritual sense, anything that you sow to, you will reap. And that's what the Bible is saying. For God is, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Abraham had sowed many good seeds, and Abraham had been blessed by God many times over. He's a very wealthy man. He has everything that he could ever want it, but a child. And we remember that there's been a couple of times in Abraham's life where he has sowed to the flesh and done what he thought was right instead of what God thought was right. We remember back in chapter number 12, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham has been promised in the land of Canaan God was going to take care of him in the land of Canaan. He got a little fearful. The famine had come. He was looking for food. He thought he was not going to be able to be taken care of by God. And what does he do? He heads on down to Egypt. And this is a picture of the world. He doesn't believe God can take care of him where God put him and where God placed him. So he goes on down to Egypt. And we know the story there. He goes and he tells the Pharaoh, that Sarah is not my wife, she's my sister. Sarah must have been a good-looking woman because Pharaoh wanted Sarah. Sarah took Sarah and paid Abraham dearly for Sarah. And then we find out that God doesn't like what happened, obviously, because Sarah was Abraham's wife, and God plagues the Pharaoh's household, and Pharaoh gets up and gives Sarah back before they ever consummate the relationship. Now, when Pharaoh gave Sarah back, he gave him bond servants, he gave him men servants, maid servants, a bunch of cattle, all this stuff. You might be thinking, hey, Abraham made out. He still got his wife, and he got all these riches. Well, those riches ended up being a problem later on down the road, because I believe in that amount of riches and his servants. One of them was this young servant girl named Hagar. And later on, we know that they have a problem with Hagar. Chapter number 16, he also sows to the flesh. He is waiting for this child. God has promised him a son. And so what does Abraham do? He goes into Hagar. It's Sarah's idea. Goes into Hagar, has intercourse with Hagar. They have a child, and this is where Ishmael comes from. So now, all these years later, Abraham sowed to the flesh. He got Hagar the wrong way, and then he enters into this relationship with Hagar, and this child comes out. Now, here's the problem. There's been turmoil in this family, in this relationship for years. For these 14 years, you got Abraham's wife, Sarah, who's jealous of Hagar and the baby. You got Hagar, who's jealous of Sarah and his relationship with Abraham, thinking that she should be the rightful person because she was the one able to bear a child. And there's like a family feud going on for many years. And what's going on during all this? Abraham is reaping what he has sown. Now, 14 years later, Ishmael's about 14 years old. And the good news has come. Sarah has a child. Sarah has the promised child. Sarah has the child of faith. And here, Isaac is the new heir. Now, what is Ishmael again? Ishmael is Abraham's son, but also Hagar's son. So he's the son of a slave. He's no longer going to be the heir. Well, probably about the age of 2 or 3, Isaac is weaned. And all this stuff is going on. They're having this great celebration. But who's the guy that's left out? You got Ishmael over here. He used to be the heir. He was going to have this great fortune. He had his future planned out. Everything was going to be great. He was Abraham's child, Abraham's only child. Everybody treated him great. Everybody looked at him as he was going to be the future of this family. Well, he hears Isaac comes. He knows who he is. He's the son of a slave. He knows Isaac is going to be one that is going to be lifted up. So he hates Isaac. You see in the passages of scripture, he says he mocks Isaac. And even later on in the scriptures, they talk about how his intentions are shown. And he hates Isaac. He doesn't want anything to do with Isaac. He sees in Isaac all his future has been crumbled. And no longer is he going to have a great future. Instead, he's going to be the son, the slave, or best yet, just serve Isaac in this family. So this comes to a head. Sarah sees that Ishmael is mocking, and Sarah turns around and says in verse number 10, "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." And what it comes to a head, we see that the civil war explodes. There's not enough space in this household for Hagar and Ishmael and also for Sarah and Isaac. You say, "Pastor, what are you getting at?" Well, because he sowed to the flesh. Because he did what he thought was right instead of listening to God. His chickens are coming home to roost. He is reaping what he has sowed here. He has not done what he was supposed to. Now he is being punished, or he is paying for the consequences of his sin. And now we see that he is going to have to say goodbye to his cherished son, Ishmael. He tells Hagar and Ishmael, "Look, here's some bread, here's some water. You got to go." And you might say, "Well, what's the big deal?" You think about it. That would hurt. I don't know about you, but we love our family. And to say that you got to go, son, I'm never going to see you again. I can't give you anything to help. You had to get out of the house. You had to get out of the family. No longer are you. No, you're gone. That seems pretty harsh. Now, before we get to that, I want you to understand something. This is a principle here. You reap what you sow. And we got to get to the spot where we understand that we always in our own lives are reaping what we sow. And we got to get to the spot where we ask ourselves some questions. What are we sowing towards? What are we living our lives towards? If we truly reap what we sow, are we living a life of sin today and someday down the road we're going to think we're going to reap something different? See, most people have looked at what happened over here to Egypt, because this is what Lot saw. Lot saw Abraham go down there. He didn't lose his wife. He got to keep his wife, and he got all this stuff. Lot began to fall in love with the things of Egypt, began to fall in love with the things of stuff and possessions, and Lot ends up in Sodom and Gomorrah, and his family's destroyed. And here you got Abraham, who seems like everything's going well. And sometimes when you're living in sin, and sometimes when you're sowing to the flesh, and you're doing things the way you want to do, and you think everything's turning out great, everything's turning out fine, I'll never have to pay for this sin. I'll never have to pay any type of consequences for my sin. Nothing's ever going to be a problem. And this is what Abraham is seeing for these 14 years. He's got his son. Nothing could ever be wrong. And then Isaac comes, and he probably has in his mind, terrific, I not only have Isaac, the precious heir of faith, but I also have Ishmael still. This is great. But sooner or later, it always comes back. You reap what you sow. And this is not the main point of the message, so I don't want to spend too much longer here, but I want you to get some thoughts in your mind. What are you sowing towards today? What are you sowing towards today? And how much are you sowing? Now, let's think about it this way. Am I sowing to the flesh or am I sowing to the spirit? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For what a man soweth to his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. And that's what happened with Abraham. He had sowed to the flesh, and now he has to deal with this problem in his life. He would never had the problem if he didn't have the lack of faith and go to Egypt. He would never had the problem if he tried to do things his own way and had that relationship with Hagar. Now he has to deal with the sin of his life. God is dealing with him. God is cleaning him up. God is molding him, and God is making him for the future that he wants to use him for. God is dealing with him with his sin here. And he has to end up reaping what he sowed. Now, guess a couple quick things. Are we sowing to the flesh today, or are we sowing to the spirit? I asked a couple Wednesday nights ago when we spoke on this passage of scripture in Galatians chapter 6. I said, okay, let's look at it entertainment-wise. How much time do we spend watching TV versus reading your Bible? Now, here's the thought. If I'm sowing to the flesh, if I'm sowing, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with TV. I am saying there are some things wrong with some things on TV, but I'm not saying there's something wrong with entertainment. But if I sow to entertainment, if I spend all my time watching sports, and I like to watch sports, and if I spend all my time reading things that are not going to help me in my Christian life, if I spend all my time on entertainment, spend all my time sowing to my flesh, trying to make myself feel good, am I going to become a good Christian over here? So many people think, I can spend 10 hours a week doing things that are my entertainment, and then I can spend 10 minutes a week reading my Bible and think I'm going to turn out to be a good Christian. That's just not what the Bible's saying here. You sow what you sow to, that's what you're going to reap. If you're going to sow to being knowing the most that you can about basketball, and know all you can about hunting, and know all you can about football or cooking, or, you know, those things might not be bad things in themselves. And you know what you're going to reap in the end? You're going to reap a great knowledge when it comes to all those things, but no knowledge about the Bible. But if I'm going to sow to the Word of God, if I'm going to pray, if I'm going to fast, if I'm going to witness, if I'm going to sow to things of the spiritual, you're going to reap a harvest of spiritual blessings. But so often we sow to the things of the flesh, we sow to the things that we want to do, that we're expecting to reap a spiritual blessing, but we have not sowed that way at all. We think, hey, well, if I read my Bible for 5 minutes a day, I'm going to become an expert in the Word of God. It doesn't work that way. If I spend 2 minutes a day praying and seeking God's face, then I'm going to get all my prayers answered. No, we're not sowing to it. We're not going to reap something. You're not going to be able to plant a pumpkin seed and someday get a watermelon. If we want to have spiritual fruit in our lives, we must be sowing to that. You can say, well, I can show up to church once a month or once a year, and you know what? I'm going to grow in my Christian walk. No, it doesn't work that way. You're not sowing to that. You're sowing to something else. So, Christian, what are we sowing towards? The next question is, how much are we sowing it? Now, once again, if I want to see 100 people saved this year, personally, win 100 people to Christ. Wow, that's a huge thing. How many tracks are going to pass out? If I pass out one track, am I going to see 100 people saved? Probably not, okay? Probably not, because you're only planting one seed. It's sort of like, hey, I want to take that field that's out back, has all that tall grass, I want to plant corn next year, and I'm going to plant one corn seed and think that the whole field's going to be covered. It's not going to happen, is it? Because I haven't planted enough. I haven't sowed enough. So the principle here is, how much are we sowing? Hey, I want to become a student of the Word of God. I want to learn the Word of God. I want to meditate on the Word of God day and night. It's just not going to happen by reading it for a couple minutes. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just being honest with you. I don't want us to be deceived. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you want to reap a spiritual blessing, and that should be our desire, if we're a believer, we're a Christian, we should want God's blessing. We should want to see spiritual fruit. We should want God to work in our lives and move. We should want to know the Bible and be able to explain it to others. We should want to see our prayers answered. We should want to see people saved. But it's not going to happen if we're not sowing the seed of Bible reading. We're not sowing the seed of prayers. We're not sowing the seed of evangelistic type efforts. We're never going to see fruit if we're not sowing to it. But so often, we're over here feeding the flesh and doing all these things that are busy and doing all these things that are good and all those things that occupy our times. And we're going to reap over here. That's why so many people are reaping in their lives saying, man, my boy's good at basketball. My boy's good at football. Or my girl's good at what, at volleyball, or it's because they spent so much time sowing to that. And guess what happens? They reap that. But there's no harvest over here because no one's sowing to it. And so, and how much are we sowing? So the first point is Abraham here, he's sowing. He's reaping what he has sowed. What are you reaping today in your life? I can almost guarantee this because of what you've sowed. Abraham here, even though he was a friend of God, he was a giant in the Bible, he still reaped the consequences of his sin because he never got it right. So the first thing is, Abraham is reaping what he sowed. Second thing is, and this is the passage of scripture I do not want people to get confused about. I want people to understand, Abraham is realizing how to deal with the flesh. Abraham is realizing how to deal with the flesh. I've read this passage of scripture and I've read it a number of times just saying, Lord, I want you to show me what exactly it is you want us to learn from this passage of scripture. Because from a fleshly side, I look at this passage of scripture and say, how in the world can God tell Abraham it's okay to get rid of Isaac? Now you say, no, that was Sarah that said that. Well, look what it says down here in verse number 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. I'm like, wow. God is saying, Abraham, it's okay to throw your son out of the camp. God is saying, okay, Abraham, you got to let him go. And we may wonder what is going on here, but thankfully the Bible doesn't stop here. The Bible tells us a story. In Galatians chapter number 4, he even shows you a little bit where it talks about how Abraham's relationship with Sarah was one of faith, and Abraham's relationship with Hagar was one of the flesh. It's Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23 says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he that is of the free woman was by promise. See, God could not approve of the relationship that Hagar and Abraham had. It was sin. Even Abraham later on, or after Ishmael came, God says, you're going to have another child by Sarah. He's like, no. Guess let Ishmael be the promised one. He's like, I can't accept Ishmael. That was sin. You had to reap what you have sowed here. And this is an example of our flesh versus faith. Our example of flesh versus faith. I don't want to lose anybody here, but here's what happens. In this story, he is showing us an illustration of what we are supposed to do with our flesh. You say, the flesh, what do you mean? We're all born with one nature. That is a flesh nature. Our flesh nature is bent on sin. It's bent, you're serving your flesh nature, and you have a fleshly nature that will always be with you, even when you become a Christian. And when you become a Christian, you're giving a new nature. So you have a spiritual nature and you have a fleshly nature. And this is the illustration that God is teaching with this powerful lesson here of what we're supposed to do with our fleshly nature. Over here, Sarah represents the spiritual nature and Hagar represents the fleshly nature. The Bible speaks of it this way. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So our fleshly nature is the one that says, hey, I want to do things my way. I want to live whatever way I want. I want to do the things I want to do, and I don't care what anybody says. The spiritual nature is the one over here saying, God's way is what's best. God says that we should live a certain way. We should do things His way, and we should do the things the way He tells us to. they are against one another. They will never agree. They will always fight against one another. The Bible says they are contrary one to another. Paul even put it this way about his flesh. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good, I find not." Now listen, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." And Paul is saying, hey, I am struggling in this flesh. I have a fleshly nature. I have a spiritual nature. The things I want to do, the things I want to live, the things I want, how I want to live by God, I want to do the right things. Those are the things I do not do. But the things that I do not want to do, those are the things I end up doing anyway. I don't know about you. Have you ever had that problem before? We all want to come to church. We all want to memorize our Bible. We all want to sing the praises of God. We all want to pray. We all want to do the things that are right. But there is something against us that is always fighting against us and is always fighting against us and always fighting against us, telling us we should not do what's right. We need to do what we want to do. And it's the fleshly nature over and over fighting against the spiritual side. And it's a constant battle and a constant war. And that's what the representation that God is using here. Hagar and Ishmael represents the works of the flesh. The fleshly nature. Where Sarah and Isaac represent the works of faith. And God is saying, Abraham, you have to get rid of the works of the flesh so the works of faith can become predominant in your life. There was something that was stopping Abraham from furthering his walk with God. There was something that was stopping Abraham from going closer to God. There was something that was stopping Abraham from taking that next step that God wanted to do. It was the works of the flesh. I don't know why. Maybe Abraham had let Ishmael become an idol in his life. Maybe he had a small soft spot for Hagar. I don't know what the reasons was, but I know that this represents the works of the flesh, and it teaches that in Galatians chapter 4, and this over here represents the works of the faith. So God is saying, as difficult it is, and it was not easy. The Bible says in verse number 11, this was very grievous to Abraham. This is something that broke Abraham's heart, but he had to listen to God, and he had to get rid of those works of the flesh. He had to get rid of those fleshly things, and he had to send them on their way. Now, don't be thinking about Ishmael and Hagar right now. We're going to finish that in a second. But they're gone. Abraham had to kick them out. God told him it was okay. Okay, get rid of it, because they represent the flesh. They were part of his fleshly nature. And he said, I'm confused, Pastor. I understand why you might be, but think about it. What does the Bible tell us to do with our flesh? Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. It says, to cast off the fleshly things. The Bible, Paul puts it this way, I die daily. Paul says we should crucify our flesh. Paul says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dealing with our flesh is never easy. Dealing with our flesh is something that is hard to do and is going to be painful. But the Bible says that we're supposed to cast off those works of darkness. Those fleshly things that are in our lives, we need to get rid of them. We need to crucify them. Put them to death, put them on the cross, reckon them dead, but ourselves alive unto Christ. Now, so what are we getting to? Just as difficult as it was for Abraham to say goodbye to Ishmael and Hagar, it was important. That's the illustration here. And just as difficult as it is for us to get rid of our bitterness, or for us to get rid of our anger, for us to get rid of our lustful thoughts, or for us to get rid of our idols of our lives, the Bible says that we need to get rid of them. We need to get them out of here. We don't need to leave them anywhere to where we're going to give ourselves provision to the flesh. We need to clean up our lives and get rid of the fleshly things and get rid of the fleshly things that are stopping our growth, and say, okay, I want to live for God. And because I want to live for God, these sins cannot stay here. I got to get rid of the rock music. I got to get rid of the alcohol. I got to get rid of the things that are feeding my flesh and my fleshly nature. I need to get rid of it all and throw it out the door. I need to start living for God. And my fleshly side is going to stop my walk with God. And that's what Ishmael and Hagar represented. And God said, just like Sarah says, that boy is not going to be an heir with my son. You need to get rid of it. Now, Sarah was doing because of fleshly things. But God comes to him and says, she's right. Ishmael's probably come some type of idol to Abraham. There's something that he has put, not something he would worship and bow down, but something that he had hoped that somehow Ishmael could be able to be an heir also, but he was a product of sin. God could not accept his sin. God had to deal with his sin. And God says, you got to go. And you say, Pastor, that just seems so hard and that seems so difficult. And the truth is, it is super hard. It is super difficult. And that's what dealing with your flesh is. Your flesh will be continual. It will nonstop. It wants to pull you back. It does not want you to live for God. And when you go up to get dressed sometimes to come ready to go to church or come get dressed to go to visitation or come to this service or you just go to do something for God and your flesh pulls you back and pulls you back and pulls you back, it will never stop. And that's the reason why the Bible talks about how we had to die daily to the flesh. We had to say no to the flesh. We had to crucify our flesh. We had to make sure that we're not making any provision for our flesh at all, cast off the works of darkness. And this is the illustration he's giving in Genesis chapter 21. As hard and as powerful it is, God is saying you have to get rid of Ishmael and you have to get rid of Hagar because they represent your flesh and you have to turn to God. I don't know about you, but you know, pulling off a band-aid when the wound is still healing, that hurts. And to pull off some type of sin that you have in your heart and life, some of us have bitterness that's been there for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And God's saying, you need to cast off that darkness. Some of you have been dealing with the same sin for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And it is difficult and it's going to be hard. But that's what God's saying. Dealing with your flesh is not easy. That's why he uses words like crucify it, dying daily, casting off. It's because it's not pretty, but it's something that must be done. Abraham realizes this. And you say, why would God do this? God's got a plan for Abraham. A number of years from now, the next chapter over, God's going to come to Abraham and says, I want you to offer your only son, Isaac. Now, that could have been a lot easier for Abraham if Ishmael was still in the camp, couldn't it? Because if Isaac was gone, if Isaac was the only one there, then he knows that that was his heir. Ishmael's gone. But if Ishmael's still in the camp, guess what? It wouldn't be so hard to offer up Isaac. He wouldn't have the faith that believe that God was going to raise him up anymore. God wanted something special for Abraham. God had a plan, a spiritual plan, a plan of faith, a plan that he desired to have the line of Christ come through his family, to be the father of a great nation, be Father Abraham. He had all this plan worked out for him, but God had to say, there's something in your life you got to get rid of. There's some type of sin that you got to get rid of. There's something that you got to get cleaned up. And it was Ishmael and Hagar. Hopefully you understand what the point is and what's going across here. There are times in our life that God will take and make, allow things to happen because he wants us to clean things up. We look at the story of Abraham and we're saying, boy, I wish I had a faith like Abraham. I wish I could leave the Ur of the Chaldees. I wish I could have the faith to help Lot out and be able to take down those five kings. I wish. But it all begins here. Am I willing to deal with my flesh? And that's what Abraham was willing to do. Last but not least, and I want you to feel bad for Hagar and Ishmael, because in the end, it was what was best for Ishmael anyway. How could it be best for Abraham to say goodbye to Ishmael? Well, Ishmael at this point in time, he's 16, 17 years old. So in that culture, he has become a man. Inside Abraham's house, it would have been Abraham, it would have been Isaac, and then who would have been under Isaac would have been Ishmael. He, in a sense, would have been a servant to Isaac. But instead, God knows and God's plans that even though it would have been tough for Ishmael to begin with, even though it was going to be really hard for Hagar to begin with, we see that later on, God allows Ishmael to become the father of a great nation. Now, if he would have been under Isaac, guess what he would have been? He would have been under Isaac, and then Isaac would have been the father of that great nation. And his tribe, his people would have been even greater. And he would have lived always under the light of Isaac. But the fact that God cast him out, which was best for Ishmael. You know, sometimes we don't understand God's working and God's moving, but God is always interested in us. And God always loves us. And God always does what's best for us. God takes care of Hagar and takes care of Ishmael here. And you might say, Pastor, I don't get what you're saying. I can't see myself like Abraham sowing what I'm reaping. I can't see myself like Abraham discarding these fleshly things. I put myself like Ishmael and Hagar. Nobody wants me. No one loves me. Everybody wants to cast me off. Nobody really cares about me. And that's what I see from Hagar and Ishmael. I can't understand why God would allow that to happen. Well, let's see what the Bible says. God takes care of them. Look what it says in verse 14. Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar. Now, as I was studying, I was looking at this. Abraham is a really rich man, and all he gives them is bread and water. Don't you think he could give him some cattle, maybe some servants, maybe to help protect him? You know what? Abraham is listening to God. He is getting rid of and completely cutting it out. It's gone. It's done. And that's what we knew to do with our flesh. Keep on going here. And it says, putting it on her shoulder and the child, he kisses his son goodbye forever. Man. And sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, the story gets pretty sad here. She's in a desperate spot. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. So she, once again, this is a 16, 17-year-old young man. And he must be to the point where he is just at desperation. He needs water. He needs nourishment. She does not want to hear her child die. So in verse 16, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, which is probably like 1,000 feet maybe. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. But here it is. God loves the cast off. God remembers the cast off. You might say, nobody cares. No one loves me. I'm at my wit's end. I have no help at all. God comes. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Isn't that wonderful? God loves her and sees her and said, look, Hagar, what's wrong? And he says to her these wonderful words, fear not. He's like, Hagar, you have nothing to fear. Because they already had a meeting in chapter 16. God has already given her promises about Ishmael in chapter number 16. He is reminding her, for God hath heard the voice of the lad. It's wonderful. God hears the voice of the castoffs. God hears Ishmael under the shrubs crying out. Hears Hagar crying out. Isn't that wonderful? If you cry out today, no matter if you think nobody else in this world will listen to you, God will listen to you. And you keep on going. He says, the voice of the lad where he is. And he hears you exactly where you're at. Verse 18, arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. Gives another promise. Ishmael is going to be a great nation. Even some would suggest that he has even a greater number of descendants more than Isaac did. You keep on going, verse number 19, and God opened her eyes. Isn't this wonderful? She was crying. She was so sad. She could not see God's provision right in front of her. And sometimes that we get so emotional, God's got the plan, God's got the answer, is right in front of us. But we got to just open up our eyes. And the Bible says, God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad. Isn't that, I don't know about you, you're saying, it's wrong, Ishmael and Hagar is gone. It was best for Ishmael and Hagar to be gone. God was with them where they were at. And I don't know who you are today. I don't know how much you might think nobody likes you, nobody cares about you. They've kicked you out of the club, or they kicked you out of the family. They kicked you out of your last church. I don't know. You might think, no one even knows my name. You know, God knows, God hears. God loves you, and no matter who you are or where you're from, God still cares about you. God loves you so much and cares so much for you that he sent his son down on the cross to die for you and to die for your sins. He was on a rugged tree to pay your sin penalty. He died, he was buried, he rose again to pay your sin debt. That's how much God loves you. And if you're here this morning and you've never become a Christian, I don't care who else has told you no or who else has shut the door in your face, God loves you so much that he sent his son down the cross to die for you, and you can know that you're on your way to heaven if you'll just put your faith and trust in him. This morning as we close up, there's three things I want you to remember. You think about this story. You think about the turmoil that was in Abraham's life. How could Abraham say no to Ishmael and Hagar and send them away? He was reaping what he sowed. And what are you reaping towards today? What are you sowing to, today, towards? Are you sowing to a life of spiritual things? Are we reading our Bibles? Are we husbands? Are you loving your wives? Wives, are you submitting to your husbands? Are you doing things the Bible ways? Children, are you obeying your parents and honoring your parents? Are you doing the things that are sowing to a spiritual end and a spiritual harvest? Are we spending all our time sowing to things that are just not worth it? Secondly, as hard as this story is, it is a powerful illustration of what we're supposed to do with the flesh. If you have things that are fleshly in your life, cut them off. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to cast out the bondage of the sin. He wants you to cast out the bondage of bitterness, the bondage of anger, the bondage of cheating, the bondage of sexual thoughts, the bondage of doing things that are wrong, watching the wrong things, listening to the wrong things. He wants you to cut it off. You can go to churches all across America that would tell you God doesn't care what you do. But our Bible tells us that we need to deal with our sin, deal with our sin nature, not to give provision to the flesh, to cast off the works of darkness. And that's what we need to work on. That's what we need to do. Is there fleshly things in our lives? And this is the story, the illustration. You say, well, I don't think he should have kicked Ishmael out. Then he would have never been ready for Mount Moriah. He would have never been ready for what God wanted him to do. And it's not our job to judge what God did or didn't do or God should or shouldn't have done. It's our job just to be obedient. And the third thing I want you to remember, Abraham's God remembers the cast-offs. He doesn't leave Hagar and Ishmael to themselves. He makes a great nation out of Ishmael. Even some would think a greater nation than Isaac's nation was. Well, you know, it wasn't the line that Christ came through, but it was something that God did not forget about him. And God hasn't forgotten about you either. This morning, are you a Christian? Are you on your way to heaven? God loves you. He sent his son down the cross to die for you. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. You can come forward. We can have somebody show you from the Bible how you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by repenting of your sins and asking Christ to become into your heart to save you. And if you are a Christian this morning, what are you sowing towards? You will reap it. You're going to reap it. If you keep on eating all those donuts we had in Sunday school class, you're going to end up reaping the fact that you get fatter because you've eaten the wrong thing. It just happens. It just happens. You know what? If you're sowing seeds to the flesh all the time, you're going to reap corruption, the Bible says. But when you sow to the Spirit, that's when you reap life everlasting. And last but not least, don't forget, God loves you. Even though you might think that everyone else does not understand you, they've pushed you away and pushed you outside, God has provision for you, God has a plan for you, and God has a purpose for you. Look to Him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.